Good morning. It's 9:02. You're listening to WMFO in Medford.
/111, and I had a stroke. When I woke up, I couldn't speak or walk.
145/92, and then I had a heart attack.
182/100, and I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest, and then a stroke. Everything changed. It felt like my life was over.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
150/90, and I had a stroke. If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
180/110, and I had a stroke. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If you've come off your treatment plan, get back on it, or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Thank you.
Good morning. It's 9:09. You're listening to WMFO in Medford. That was False Lights with their brand new album, Harmonograph. And who are these folks other than Sam Carter and Jim Amore? Both of them play guitars. Both of them sing. Jim also played keys. Tom Moore was a violin and harmony vocals. Archie Churchill Moss was melodeon and harmony vocals. Barnaby Stradling is bass. And Stuart Provan is drums and harmony vocals. With Lawrence Hunt on Kachiki, Shakeray, Agogo, and Darbuka. Joshua Poole on saxophones. Roland Parsons on trumpet. Joe May on spoons. And Danny Pedler doing hurdy-gurdy drones. So yeah, you might call that folk rock, but not that sort that you heard back on Morris on. Not tons of amplifier and synthesizer. Nope. Everybody's gotten a bit more sophisticated. And of course, Black Velvet Band is a transportation ballad going to Australia, which was known as Van Diemen's Land. Well, closer to home and a little bit more folky, this one goes out to Pat Camarena Rose Barbary. We're going to hear a couple of albums, sorry, a couple of tunes from the album called Moonfire. First up is Moonfire, and then we've got Summertime. Yeah, Summertime. Thank you.
Here's a song that you'll rarely hear on a banjo. It's an aria from a wonderful opera called Porgy and Bess. Summertime, when the living is easy, the fish are jumping and the cotton is high. Your daddy's rich, your mom is good looking. So hush, little baby, now don't you cry. One of these mornings you're gonna rise up singing, and you'll spread your wings and learn to fly. But come that morning, nobody will harm you, 'cause mama and daddy are passing by. Instrumental time. The audience to sing with Melissa. Ready? All together. Here we go. Summertime, and the living is easy. The fish are jumping, and the cotton is high. Your daddy's rich, and your mom's good looking. So hush, little baby. That sounds so good. Let's let you do it just by yourselves. Ready? Just the audience. Here we go. Summertime.
Now, who was that, you ask? Well, that happens to be Michael Jonathan's latest album, Moonfire. And where did he get an audience that could sing along on Summertime? Well, probably his show Wood Songs might have had a little bit to do with that. Yeah. Unless you tune in to On the Town or one other of our fine engineered programs here on WMFO, you probably won't get to hear Harmony singing like that. No, indeedy. However, we have other delights, including Celtic Dawn and, as we segued into Between the Worlds, the best of Earth Religions radio. And Our calendrical information is, as usual, brought to you by the Perpetual Almanac of Folklore by Charles Kightley. Haymaking should now be well in hand. Let hay still abide till well it be dried, then go, sirs, away to tend and make hay. If storms draweth nigh, then cock apace cry. Tusser's 500 points of good husbandry of 1573. Naturally, when that was written, the idea of mechanized hay balers and loaders and being able to wrap your bales in plastic to let them dry, even if it was raining, probably a good 500 years in the future. Yeah, just about. At least 410. July the 3rd, the hot and unhealthy dog days, when Sirius the dog star is in the ascendant, begin today and continue until about August the 11th. If, like several people, you didn't actually go on vacation the week before, you'll definitely want to do so now, because even though it is less hot via temperature, the humidity is going to stick around and stick around and stick around. It looks like the next chance we have for real thunder showers and rain is this coming Friday here in coastal Massachusetts. July the 4th, Midsummer Eve, old style, and thus a good time for making prognostications. Orpine, alias Livelong, will survive for months after picking because of its fleshy leaves. Hence, John Aubrey's Remains of Gentilism of 1688 notes, "The maids, especially the cook maids and dairy maids, would stick up in some chinks of the joints midsummer men, which are slips of orpence. They place them by pairs, one for such a man, the other for such a maid, his sweetheart. And accordingly, as the orpin did incline to or recline from the other, there would be love or aversion. If either did wither, very bad indeed, it betokened death." So before the days of air conditioning and fans, what did people advise for the hot and unhealthy dog days? Well, they said that it is forbidden by astronomy to all manner of people to be let blood or take physic. Yes, it is good to abstain all this time from women. For why all that time reigneth the star that is called Canicula Canis, a hound in English, and the kind of the star is broiling and burning as fire. All this time the heat of the sun is so fervent and violent that men's bodies at midnight sweat as at midday, and if they be hurt, they be more sick than at any other time, yea, very near dead. In these days, all venomous serpents, and this was in England, where, of course, there were and still are adders, creep, fly, and gender, so that many are annoyed thereby in these times. So what about the serpents that fly? Well, they were talking about gnats, mosquitoes, bugs, etc. so that many are annoyed thereby. In these times, a fire is good night and day. Right. Well, that was the only method they had for fumigation back then. But good luck if you could tolerate a fire. And wholesome, seeth well your meals and take heed of feeding violently. That was from the Husbandsman Practice of 1729. So, in other words, they're saying, yes, abstain from really vigorous physical exercise, eat lightly, but be sure that you do eat. July the 5th is Old Midsummer Day. Beware of being misled by Robin Goodfellow. Well, who's Robin Goodfellow? Why, he's a sprite. The Ballad of Robin Goodfellow, written around 1600 notes, whene'er such wanderers I meet, as from their night sports they trudge home, with counterfeiting voice I greet, and call on them with me to roam, or else unseen with them I go, and frolic it with ho, ho, ho. John Aubrey, who we just heard from, notes that the ho, ho, ho of Robin Goodfellow, Mr. Lancelot Morris, did aver to me that he did once hear such a loud laugh on the other side of a hedge, and was sure that no human voice could afford such a laugh. And that's from the same Remains of Gentilism of 1688. Well, what could you do to break the fairy spell? And Corbett's Iter Borealis of 1648 notes, you turn your coat or cloak inside out. While in this mill we labor and turn round as in a conjurer's circle, William found a means for our deliverance. Turn your cloaks, quoth he, for Puck is busy in these oaks. Yes, Puck, Robin Goodfellow, any number of fine names. July the 6th, haymaking still in progress in most areas. Many rabbits were killed by the mowers when scything was done by hand. We should also mention that in this year, July the 4th, the birthday of our glorious republic, which may yet be again if we get our butts out there and vote, people. Yes, 2018 elections, primaries are taking place, at least here in Massachusetts, on September the 4th. The day after Labor Day. Get out there and vote. Make your voice heard. Even Melania Trump, in her second visit to the immigrants on the border, left her raincoat behind. We can be only grateful for small favors. But it is also July 4th, Midsummer Eve, old style. So make your prognostications. Coming up Wednesday, yes. Thursday, Friday, we've already done. Saturday, Herb Bennett or Woodavens now beginning to seed. It was reckoned to be a sovereign remedy by William Turner's Herbal of 1568 for summer spots. In other words, what to do when you didn't wear a hat when going out in the sun. And July the 8th, once again, this is old style remedies. Frogs were now in demand for making love potions and cures. John Aubrey's Miscellanies of 1695 noted, to cure the thrush, take a living frog and hold it in a cloth that it does not go down into the child's mouth. Definitely a wise precaution. And then put the head into the child's mouth till it is dead, and then take another frog and do the same. So that was how to cure a sore throat in children back in 1695. We do have better remedies now, and we can be thankful for that. And next up, we have Olivia Chady.
On it flows till autumn. As my father's breath became as mist, and a bone-biting cold threaded its way into the glade.
Where will it end? Far time. Turn back and your life will be just as before. If you stay, your name will be spoken in tales forevermore. Forevermore. Who is this? Who is this?
I know who you are, but I have no greeting for you, the grey man said. Perhaps you are of such a high rank that you feel you do not need to show me respect, my father replied. The grey man's lips thinned, and for just one second his eyes turned from grey to black. It is not my rank that prevents me, but your blatant discourtesy. My father was a proud man. You must understand this. And even then he held his head high. But he confided in me, as he told me this tale, that in truth he was wishing he was anywhere else but looking into the grey eyes of this stranger. What discourtesy is this? He asked. The discourtesy of drawing my hounds from the stag and then setting your own upon it is the greatest discourtesy I have ever seen. I know who you are, mortal, and know this. I will do you the dishonour of 100 stags. My father looked at the stag brought to bay by his hounds. The other pack circled, growling. their strange countenance, and the appearance of this stranger. But of course, they were his hounds. "Sir, I have done you wrong. I will redeem your friendship." "And how exactly will you do this?" the stranger asked. "I will offer you a penance as befitting your rank and title, but I do not know who you are. In the land from which I come, I am the crowned king," the grey man said. "My father knew every nobleman, yet this man who sat upon such a magnificent grey mare he had never seen before. Greetings, my lord. From which land do you come?" "From Anun, and I am the crowned king of that land. I am Araun, king of Anun." Anun. We had all heard of that place. Tales told to us of the land between lands, where the Andedion, the grey folk, lived. And all the magic of this world existed because of those places that were gateways into that ancient place. The great circles of the old people, their tombs that still stood as mounds of ancient earth, and trees too, old trees, whose roots reached into Anun and whose great trunks and branches spread into the sky of Arbred. They too were portals. Legend tells of those who stepped through those portals, and there, right before my father, stood the king of that place. "Lord," my father said, "how shall I win your friendship?" "This is how," Araun said. "There is a man whose land is next to mine. His name is Havgan, a king of Anun, and you will rid me of his oppression. You can do this easily. Once that is done, then you will win my friendship." "This I will do gladly," my father said. "Tell me how it may be done." "This is how," said Araun. "I will make a firm alliance with you. I will put you in my place as king of Anun. You shall have the most beautiful woman in the world to sleep with every night, and none will know that you are not Araun. For I will place a spell upon you to transform you into my likeness in every way. All this from tomorrow until the end of this year. Then we shall meet again in this place. Gladly will I do this. But even if I am there for a year, how will I know this man Havgan you speak of?" "A year from tonight," Araun said, "Havgan and myself will meet at the ford. You will be there in my shape, and you must make him fall with one blow. As he lay dying, he will plead with you to finish him off for mercy. Do not do this. For I landed him with several blows, and he returned to fight me again, just as strong as before." My father was a mighty warrior, so meeting this man in battle did not trouble him. "But what of my lands?" he asked the great Araun. "I will be of your appearance, and I will rule your land, whilst you are in mine." My father remembered the dream that had drawn him to this place and understood. This was all meant to be. "I agree to the task," he said. For the first time, Araun smiled. "Then it is done." The two rode together through the forest in silence. The floor of the woodland danced with a million stars, and Araun's pack of otherworldly hounds followed close behind. They soon came upon one of the mounds of the old people, its stone doorway open, yet darkness lay beyond. "This is the way. Step through this doorway, and you will be in my land," Do we still have agreement? My father looked at the stones. He told me he was more afraid of taking that step into the mound than meeting Hafghan in battle. Battle was something my father knew well. The other world he only knew from the tales told by bards. Many a poet had taken this step, and my father knew there were but three results: madness, wisdom, or death. Which one would come upon him when he saw the sights within the other world, he did not know. But he had made an agreement with Aran, and my father was an honourable man. "We have agreement," he said, and turned to look at Aran.
Good morning. It's 9:57. You're listening to WMFO in Medford. This is the second album by Katrine Finch and Sekou Keita, the wonderful Welsh harpist and Malian chorist. It's called Soar. And as soon as you open up this beautiful digipack, you see a quote from Maya Angelou: "In diversity, there is beauty and there is strength." And after each has said their bit, here comes a very intriguing quote. No credit is given. It's more like a prophecy. When it's time, eternal migrants like us, the ones who wander most, we have to go. It's a question of survival, of choosing life over death. So we heard a Bach to Biso by Soar from Dave the Bard. We heard from his Mabinogi, the first branch, with Who Is This Coming? And a Deal with the Other World. Anya Minot gave us the Chant of Eternity from her fine album In the Name of Stillness. And we started off with Olivia Cheney with House on a Hill from Shelter.